We have a Monday with Mayor Marty Walsh today. Governor Baker said earlier today that we are in that peak zone of coronavirus cases in Massachusetts. More than 25,000 people in the state have tested positive for the virus. 756 people have died. In Boston, cases have more than doubled in the past week, rising to 3,916 positive cases. And so Boston Mayor Marty Walsh is on the line with us to take your questions and ours. Welcome back, Mayor Walsh.
How are you? Thank you for having me today.
And always, listeners, we are ready for your calls. What questions do you want to ask Mayor Marty Walsh? What is on your mind about the moment we're in? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Mayor Walsh, how are you?
I'm doing good. We have updated numbers for you today. We got them in as of 3 o'clock. So we 170 more positive cases of coronavirus, which brings our total to 4,086 cases in the city of Boston. 11 deaths as of yesterday, which brings our total death number to 69 people who lost their life. We have 489 people have recovered. And what we're really seeing here in Boston is we're in the surge. Our cases have more than doubled over the past 7 days. And the models that we're looking at show an estimated peak on April 26th. So we're in this thing for another 2 weeks at least of seeing very high numbers potentially coming in. I hope these are all wrong, and I hope the numbers are wrong. But unfortunately, to date, a lot of the modeling has been somewhat accurate, which is this is the time you want to be wrong.
You know, we heard from Governor Baker earlier today in his press conference. He really emphasized that these models are a worst-case scenario type of planning to make sure that you're planning to handle the worst that could come at you. Do you feel that these models are giving the city and the Commonwealth an ability to scale up as much as we need to? Are we going to be able to absorb medically what comes at us as a community, Mayor Walsh?
I mean, the governor's right. We've been in Boston. We've been planning for worst case scenario by creating 1,000 beds of hospital beds for or beds for homeless folks. We've been creating the hospital at the convention center, which 500 of those 1,000 beds are for homeless, and 500 are for hospital patients coming out of the hospital. You know, canceling school, shutting down society, shutting down stores and restaurants and things like that has been all preparing for the worst case scenario. If you look at a map of the United States, we're in the top three in the country. It was New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and there are some other states in the country that are at lot lower numbers, like Wyoming, I think is 208. But you have to be prepared for the worst, whether you have 208 or you're above 25,000. You have to prepare the same way, because it is about keeping people healthy and keeping people safe and stopping the spread of the virus, which obviously keeps people alive, too.
Mayor Walsh, we have kind of an unexpected surprise today with this awful weather. We already know that there are more than 25,000 people without power. We've seen pictures of downed trees in Boston. Are from a power and internet supply for our healthcare system, are we solid? Will they be able to withstand whatever might come from this storm? And what's your message to people in the city that are now being hit by the weather on top of everything else?
I think not just the people in the city, but the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Stay in your house. The governor reported in his press conference that they have crews ready to go around the Commonwealth. Certainly there are crews ready to go around the city. If you see any downed trees and they're on the streets, just call 311 and call them in, and we will get crews out there to clear them up. We also have utility companies ready to go, and if in the case of a downed power line or something like that, we will get crews out there right away. I mean, people are already going through enough right now not to have this type of weather, winds, and advisories coming in. I believe it's going to be windier later on tonight as well. So we're going to make sure that we're protecting people. It's just, as they say, when it rains, it pours. And today is the day that it's pouring. We also have homeless folks out in the street. This virus has brought a lot of our homeless folks inside shelter, and we have a lot of people sheltered. But there's still some folks out in the street. And if you're in and about, going to the store or something, and you see somebody that might be in a little distress, we're asking you to call 911.
So people can call 911, give the location of the person, and emergency responders will come.
Yeah, because it's an emergency today. It would be regarded as an emergency. It's an emergency a lot of days, but today it's regarded as an emergency. We want to make sure we get as many people into shelter, and we've been able to really enhance our ability to house more people that are not coronavirus positive, that are negative coronavirus, but just a safe place for them to be. And we've set up isolation tents. We've set up hospitals now, basically hospital beds for homeless folks that have coronavirus, and some of our homeless are using actually the hospital, and then we have hospitals for other communities as well. So I mean, there's resources out there right now that we can handle right now, and hopefully we'll be able to continue to handle it.
So I also want to ask you, you said earlier some of the steps you've taken, you reviewed closing schools, the curfew that you've put in place, asking residents to wear masks. You've actually, in several cases, been ahead of Governor Baker on the curve as far as taking these preventative measures. Are there any that you have held in reserve? Any other big moves that you feel like you could make? And are you thinking about taking any of those steps in these next several days?
It's hard to say that. I mean, really what it is now is it's data collection and looking at where we are and working with the state on a lot of these things as well. You know, the governor's often said that a lot of this he's allowing cities and towns, suggesting they do what they need to do in their city and town. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily frame it as ahead of the governor. I think that, you know, we came out of the box pretty fast here in Boston, and we're going to continue to. To answer your question in short, if we need to, we'll come up with other precautions that need to be put in place. But as of right now, I think what we want to do is reinforce the measures that we have in place. I know that he addressed the schools a little bit today. We had a conversation this morning about schools. So I think that, you know, decisions will be made on schools. Some districts have closed them around the country through the end of the year, and other districts are doing different things. So we'll see what happens there.
Are you considering keeping the Boston Public Schools closed through the end of the year, Mayor Welsh?
I think it's really important for us to work collectively now with the state. I think in the beginning of this, we had no idea. We had an understanding that this could be bad and the cases could reach, you know, where we are today, over 4,000. But I think that from the next move, I think really needs to be a statewide conversation on closing the schools. I don't think you can close one district and not close others. So I think it really is going to be a collective decision from the different districts.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. We've got Michael on the line with a question from Newton, Massachusetts. Michael, you're on with Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. What's your question?
First off, I want to say I can't even imagine how overwhelmed you are with all the troubleshooting that you need to do. I had one question. There's a drug they're using in New York City with great success that's actually taking patients off of the ventilators. It's called lerenlimab, lerenlimab. And I'm just curious how the medical community shares some of its success. I know that we received ventilators, but this drug is actually helping to take people off of the ventilators and in a proactive way, preventing patients from the need to be on ventilators.
I think we've got it, and I do want to tell Mayor Walsh, the AP does say that New York and California are in early testing on this. And what I found interesting about Michael's question was this idea of sharing information, sharing resources, solutions. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, what's been pretty interesting to watch here is everyone kind of sharing information, whether it's been pharmaceutical companies and trying to come up with a cure or a vaccine. And the doctors, the medical societies definitely in contact with each other. I know that Mass General and BI and Brigham and other hospitals and BMC here in Boston are trying some other drugs here that to see how it works on folks. This is kind of this virus kind of came didn't come out of nowhere, but it snuck up on us pretty quickly here in America. And I know that here in Boston to have some amazing medical institutions, and I know that they talk to each other constantly about what they're trying, because anybody who comes up with the way to cure this or come up with a solution or a cure or medicine would be universal across the country, if not the world.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to talk with Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. Kevin is on the line from West Roxbury. Kevin, you are on with Marty Walsh.
Hey, Mr. Mayor. I have a question about, well, first of all, I just wanted to say that it's been reassuring watching you and the leadership role you've been taking. You've been very decisive. You're really out front on these issues, and you've been communicating everything. And it's just really refreshing, but it's also reassuring. But my question is are there volunteer opportunities for people in the city? I feel like I want to do something and try to help out in some way. Is there anything that's available?
Thank you, Kev. There definitely are some opportunities. There's not, it's not like a typical situation where we have a crisis and we can have people interfacing with the public, but I would suggest you call 311 and put your name in or anyone that wants to volunteer on particular issues that we might have. It's a very different type of volunteering that we might have here, but love the offer. 311 is our number. If you're outside of Boston and you want to volunteer in Boston, 617-635-4500, and we can try and hook you up with an opportunity. We have food distribution centers around the city. We have different types of opportunities, but we have to be very careful. We don't want to put you or somebody else in harm's way.
So we were talking a couple of minutes ago, Mayor Walsh, about education. I had asked you about school at the end of this year. There's been some reporting that Boston University has at least hinted that they might have scenarios where they don't reopen until 2021. Are you at the stage where you're thinking about contingency plans for this fall for school?
Yeah, let me just clear that up. From what I understand, that was a rumor. BU is not thinking that way. We got calls on it earlier today as well, and that there was no decision been made like that at BU or any other school as of right now. So I think so just to put that to bed, so people don't have to start calling BU and saying is school going on. So that's out. Certainly, on the question for the Boston Public Schools, you know, the superintendent has put a lot of time into a planning process in turning our district around. We have, as you know, we were able to come up with a memorandum of understanding with DESE for 33 schools, lowest underperforming schools in Boston. And then the superintendent this is her first full school year as she's heading into it, and plans to lay down the foundation. So she's continually moving forward with that. Now, I think that those plans will have to be adjusted depending on, I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions here. What happens to our 11th graders? Do they go up to 12th? What happens to a lot of the 12th graders are going to graduate, but there's no MCAS, so we're waiting for guidance on that. How are we going to close this gap, depending if we're closed? Right now, we're closed for a little over a month in Boston. If we go through May, it'll be 2 months. And if we close the rest of the year, it'll be 3 months if that happens. So we have to figure out what the decisions that are made are going to have to be contingency plans on how do we make up that this two, potentially three-month loss of education for our kids. There is online learning going on. 82% of our district as of today have tuned in, logged in to our Google Classrooms since we have closed, and we're working with the teachers and the schools to reach the students who have not logged in yet, and there's some work to be done there, but I mean, that's still not the same as learning in the classroom, and I think that that's something that we have to really have deep conversations about, and the superintendent and myself had those conversations, and she's certainly been working with her team on how do we go back to school life when we resume.
So if I heard you correctly, then about 18% of kids have not yet checked in or are engaged in online learning. Is that correct? Did I hear you correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, and it's concerning, and there's different reasons for that. Some families, are homeless, and some families don't have access to certain technology, and we're trying to get it to them. And so we're working now. We've been reaching out since last week, I believe, and this week, really focusing on it to make sure that to see how we reconnect them. The issue here we had was we closed school down on a Sunday. We went to school on Monday. We had ordered the technology, and we didn't have the luxury of being able to provide all the materials to our kids the last day of school where they take it home with them, like the end of a school year. So we did deliver thousands and thousands of books, Chromebooks and computer technology to our kids, as well as internet services. So we're working with AT&T has been helpful, and Verizon and Comcast, these other carriers. But it's kind of complicated the way we had to shut school down so quickly.
So I want to shift gears. There's so much more that we could talk about there, but there are a few other things, too. Related food, especially meals for young people who are not in school, and the transition to summer should that happen. What is the sort of the uptake on the meals that are being made available through the school system now? And how will you think about shifting that into summertime food distribution?
Well, we have what we're doing now basically is our summertime distribution for food. We're using the program that we have for summer. I forget the name of the program. Summer eating, I think it's called. I can't think of it at the top of my head. And we set up the different facilities around the city of Boston. We have 16 BPS facilities, and we have other other nonprofit sites that we've been able to give meals out and food access to folks. It's called Summer Eats. So we've been able to do that. So what we do is if school's canceled throughout the summer, we just continue what we have set up right now.
Do you know how effectively that the food distribution right now is getting to students? So, for example, a number of students who would have been getting the food while they were in school versus coming to pick it up now?
Yeah, I don't have the exact percentage what per day, how many students go, but since we started this process, we've served over 150,000 meals in 70 different locations. So, you can average that. I think it's in the teens of how many people come on a regular basis to get food. And we've seen over the last couple of weeks an increase in that number. So more and more families are accessing that program, which is really important. And then on the other side of it, we've spoken to grocery chains to assure us that the supply chains on the shelves are strong and being restocked, and home deliveries are going to continue. So this is a little separate than the families. But we also have 150 food pantry and meal sites that are currently open and well-stocked by the Greater Boston Food Bank. I want to thank them. So not only are we feeding our students, we're also helping feed the overall community, low-income families and low-income communities underserved.
So in our last few minutes, Mayor Walsh, I know that you know that as more data has come in, there's an alarming racial disparity in COVID-19 deaths. For instance, 40% of people who tested positive in Boston are Black, although the overall Black population in Boston is about 24%. You have put together an inequities task force. How quickly will that task force be moving, and what's the first deliverable you're looking for from them?
Yeah, the task force started to meet on Saturday. It was the first call they have. We have another call actually right now is going on with elected officials to talk about what was discussed at the task force. We're doing that right now as well. There's a couple different deliverables. I think one is making sure that we're getting information out to the communities. For example, in our immigrant communities, there's language barriers that we're dealing with. And how do we make sure that that we provide them with the proper language and how we educate people on, physical distancing, washing your hands, the curfew or the recommended curfew we have in place, all of the, not gathering in groups and things like that. So we're working on all that. The second piece is making sure that we connect people to services, and that's something that's really important for us as well, making sure people understand the services that are available for them. We're seeing large numbers of African-American disproportionately impacted by the coronavirus, which tells you one of two things. One is that people are getting tested, but we need to test on a bigger scale. So we're opening Whittier Street Health Center today. To a testing facility by appointment. So anyone in the Roxbury area wants to call up, can call Whittier Street Health Center and get a test. And also, over the course of the next several days, we're going to be announcing other locations around the city of Boston.
Mayor Walsh, just a quick question. Do people have to be symptomatic to qualify for a test at Whittier Street?
They should call the doctor. The doctor will walk them through the guidelines.
Okay. Sorry,
I don't want to give the wrong information. But we've been collecting data here, demographic data in the city. We've asked the surrounding communities in the state to do the same thing. We have the data we have so far accounts for about 62 total cases in the Boston area. And this is as of yesterday. The data mirrors what we're seeing in other parts of the country, that African Americans are being disproportionately impacted by COVID-19, 42% of known cases in Boston. Whites are 28% of known cases, Latinos 16% of known cases, and other immigrant groups, communities, is about 11%, and Asians are 4%. And what we need to do with these numbers is really, what we can do with these numbers is, number one, really look and see where the community obviously has a higher rate, and then message to those communities the importance of all of the precautions you can take as individuals, number one. Number two, some of the issue, and this hasn't been thought through yet, but I'm assuming, is that a lot of families are living, generations of families are living under the same roof. So when one person tests positive, if there's no opportunity for that person to isolate in that home, then you're going to see a spread in that home. And that's particularly happening in the immigrant community, parts of East Boston. So these are all the things that we're going to be working on. And basically we're talking about, in a lot of ways, low-income families. And we're seeing it, the low-income families not being able to combat this the way that other families can.
Mayor Walsh, we've got about 1 minute left. In that time, what is your primary focus and your primary message to the city of Boston right now?
My primary focus is to stop the surge, is to stop the spread of the virus. It's about working collectively together, making sure that we can do everything we can. That means every day is critical to flattening out the curve. Physical distancing is the key. I'm asking everyone to wear a face covering outside of their home when they go for a walk or they go to the store, either a mask or a scarf or a bandana or some cloth around your face until more masks are available. The curfew between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m., there's really no reason to be outside unless you're an essential worker. We're asking people just to be very careful with each other. And young people, the numbers infected, the young person number is really high. I think it's roughly 40% of all cases are millennials, basically. Mm. You know, you're not immune to this, and what you can be is a carrier and take it into your house and do somebody who is vulnerable, who has a pre-existing medical condition, or somebody that is older, they're more vulnerable to this in the long run for their health. So we're asking you to be very careful. So Boston, let's be strong. Let's work together. Let's stand up for each other and have each other's back in this crisis.
That's Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. We appreciate you joining us today on Radio Boston. Be well.
Thank you.